Deuteronomy.
Chapter 6, verse 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of the house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells deep which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of bondage, out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and so on. Now I want to think of this as a word of caution. Beware. When you come into the land, that you don't take it for granted. Now let us look over in the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. And reading from verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now I want to think of this as a word of counsel or advice. Stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. A word of counsel needed today. And let us look now in the first book of Chronicles, chapter 29. 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. And reading, maybe we'll start to read from the beginning of the chapter. Furthermore, David, the king, said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my heart, with all my might, for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones, and divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Now let's look down in verse 5. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificer. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? I want to think of this as a word of challenge. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? First, a word of caution.
Moses is speaking to a people that had come into the land. And of course, our ministry is only for those who have come into the land. It goes over the head of sinners that are not saved. But if you have come into the land, it's to you we want to speak this little word of caution this afternoon. Moses says when you come into the land, you're going to drink of wells that you didn't dig. You're going to eat fruit off of trees you didn't plant. And you're going to live in houses that you didn't build. Now he said, when all these things come your way, and it's ease and luxury, now he says, beware lest you forget the Lord. And that's just exactly what they did. When I think of this, I think of the day in which we're living. Brethren and sisters, there are those here who are drinking of wells they never dug. You're eating off trees you never planted. You're living in houses you didn't build. Now is the time we have to beware lest we forget the Lord. What do I mean? Well, in this city of Vancouver, some of the older ones, they didn't see it start, but there were some came along here many, many years ago, and they preached the gospel, and they saw a little company of believers gathered together, and they dig the wells. I'm going to tell you, if you dig a well, you'll appreciate the water out of it. If you plant a tree, you won't cut it down very easy. If you build a house, every nook and corner of it will be precious to you. Those men walked the streets before there was an inch of pavement. In the dust and the fog, prayer meetings, they saw little companies of believers gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus. And brethren, let us, in our ministry, in our Bible readings, and in our conference meetings, and in our every time we get up to minister, don't be afraid to bring in about the gathering together of God's people, why we are where we are. Because I'm telling you, it's vital in the days in which we're living, when men are beginning to forget that they're living in houses they didn't build, that they're eating of trees they didn't plant, and they're drinking of wells they didn't dig. And the devil today, the Philistines are filling up the wells with earth. You know the Pentecostals, and there's no reflection on any Pentecostalists here. But when they get a convert, they drill into them Pentecostalism and all the ramifications of it. When Roman Catholics get a hold of someone, they bring up their children and they drill Roman Catholicism into them. But brethren and sisters, we are in need today in our morning meetings, brother, in the prayer meeting and in the Bible reading. Always bring around a little word of ministry in simplicity for young believers that are coming in amongst us of the vital necessity of keeping to the forefront why we gather as assemblies of God to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not the only people going to heaven, but we're on the only church ground that we see in the New Testament. There's Christians in other places, but brethren and sisters, we have come outside the camp of Christendom to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and taken our place in rejection with Him. And we're seeking to maintain the truths of the Word of God, and that is why we gather as we do. If the Baptist church is right, we should have never left it. If the mission is right, we should have never left it. We're not undenominational. We're not interdenominational, as some brethren like to make us. We are not non-denominational. We are those who have the only denomination the Spirit of God has given to God's people, Christians. That's the ground we take. Oh, you say there's nothing in a name. I was telling them over, you heard me say this here before, I was telling them over at Ladner this morning. You know, there's always young believers coming in amongst us. I said, my wife goes downtown and somebody meets her and she asks her what her name is, and she says, my name is Ramsey Murphy. Brother Murphy. And she comes home and tells me, and I say, well, listen, what'd you say that for? Well, you know, when I say Ramsey, it turns them off. They just hate that name. But you know, when I say Murphy, well, then they just accept me. Oh, yes, people say I'm a Christian Baptist. Leave the Baptist out of it. And take the name of Christ. You see, if it did that, they put me out. Well, you'd just be where I am. You'd be out on the ground of New Testament gathering. Listen, brethren and sisters, let us not fool ourselves. There's young believers coming in amongst us. And they're drinking at wells that they didn't dig. And they're eating of trees they didn't plant. And they're living in houses they didn't build. And I'm going to appeal to you young believers today. I believe when you're first saved, when your heart is in love with the Lord Jesus, is the time that you want to know all the answers in relation to why we gather as we do. And shame upon us, brethren, if we don't bring these truths continually before them. I was brought up in the school of Herb Harris. I never knew there was an assembly on earth, such a thing as gathering to the name of the Lord Jesus. And just a poor, rough, ungodly sinner coming in out of the world, saved by the grace of God. The first time I was in an assembly, I broke bread. First time I ever saw one. Brought to the Lord's table after being baptized. And for a whole winter, he stayed with us. And he taught us the truths of God. Separation from the world. From the religious world. Separation from the political world. Separation from the social world. And that goes for all its games and all the rest of it. Dear young people, listen, if you went under the waters of baptism and you were baptized as a believer, dead with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, in God's name, what would ever find you in a hockey rink, playing hockey, or at a bowling alley, bowling? That's for the unconverted who are going to hell. Where's our place? We're dead with Christ, and we've been raised to walk in newness of life. And let us not play at our Christianity. I know God's dear people here, young believers, and likely the majority of you. You want to please the Lord, and you're seeking to live for Him. We want to strengthen that desire. But if you're the kind that thinks you can have one hand in the world and the other hand for God, you're just making the biggest mistake you ever made. And by and by, you'll be like the Israelites. You'll be swallowed up in the nations around you and in the denominations and sects of Christendom. And I'm telling you, they don't know what to do. They're looking for what we have. But it's too big a price for some of them to pay. Now he says, you beware when you come into the land. Lest when you eat of these trees and you drink of those wells and you live in those houses, they just think, oh, well, you know, sure. Yeah, it's no trouble to go out and take the axe and cut the tree that Dad planted. But when you go and you select the tree yourself, and you take it home and you dig the hole, and you put the tree in, and you pat the dirt around about it, and every day you go out and water to see if it's growing, I tell you, it'll be a long time before you'll take the axe and cut it down. You know what's wrong with us today? We're living in a day when things have come very easy to us. We're not getting involved in the things of God. Someone has said, tell me and I'll forget. Show me and I may remember. Maybe this is yours, Brother Funston. I don't know. I got out of some magazine. It's not original. Get me involved and I'll understand. You know, there are brethren here in Vancouver has told me with their own lips, until I got involved in the assembly and a burden fell upon my shoulders to teach others, I was up against the elders and I was leading a little group here. Oh, watch the cliques in the assemblies. Don't you listen. One of the greatest curses, Brother Howard's just gone out now, but I remember him saying, one of the greatest curses in God's assembly is friendships. Friendships can ruin God's assembly. Fellowship never will. Friendship is built around personalities. Fellowship is built around principles. And don't you forget, you get involved. And some of those brethren have told me, when it dawned upon me that I had to teach those believers, I saw young converts coming in and they had their mouths open to find out what the Word of God taught. Then I had to get it for myself and I had to teach it to them. And so, then they realized I'm living in a house now that I built myself. And I'm eating the tree I planted myself. And I'm drinking water out of a well I dig myself. And I tell you, they appreciate it. Brethren, you go out and get a few souls. And then you bring them together and try to take them out from the denominations and all the sects and denominations of Christendom. And get them out of the social world where they play the darts. And when they play the hockey, when they drink the beer, and all, because it all goes together. Dear Brian and I over there in Eastport, I tell you, when we get in there and preach the gospel, and some of those dear young believers who are throwing the darts, they were in the club, they were right up almost to winning the prize. And when the old preacher, he used to be there with them, and he'd be drinking the beer at the counter with them, and he'd be calling off the scores in the bingo game. But when these ones got saved, they realized that old sinner has cheated us all these years. Do you think they ever went near a dart game again? Do you think they ever went to the bingo game again? No. One day we took them out, about 700 or 800 people standing watching. And one old man who rang the bell for over 20 years, the old sexton. He was baptized there before the audience of 800 people. And another man over 80 years of age. And then the ex-mayor of the town, a little town. And his wife, and different ones. I'm telling you, friend, when we gathered them together, and they started a little meeting and were left alone, they realized this is the house that we built. This is the well that we have digged. This is the tree that we have planted. And I tell you, they got a grip of things. Now, I have every sympathy for some of you younger ones here because you didn't come in the beginning of the work. You didn't come in the beginning of the work. You come into something that was already in operation. This is your danger. Why are the brethren so narrow-minded? Why, they wouldn't even go to hear Billy Graham if he was here. Hope you wouldn't. Brother boy, what are you looking at me for? Don't you agree with me? Say amen. Sure! Say amen. Let us say it with all our hearts. I pray for Billy Graham privately. Every word that he preaches in gospel, I believe souls are getting saved through him. But friend, to link ourselves to these systems, this is what we have to watch. And I'll tell you very often, it's those of us who are leaders and those of us who are the elders in the assembly that stand condemned because we don't warn our young believers and set the example and try to get them involved in these things so that they will realize the water that I'm drinking. When I sit down in Lord's Day morning, I'm in a house that I'm helping to build and maintain. I'm sitting down here to drink out of a well that I have helped to dig. And I tell you, brother, you'll appreciate it. Oh, dear young brother, what a potential there is here for God. There's so much lackadaisical Christianity amongst us today that it almost, at the end of our journey, it almost makes us weep when we think of the potential for God. And yet, how we take so much for granted. Brethren, I say those men that came into Vancouver or started up the work here in Vancouver, and saw the little assemblies launch out in different branch off and different hive offs, and they've gone home to heaven. But they left us a heritage. They left us houses built and wells digged and trees planted. Now let us not cut them down. Let us not wreck the house. Workman can tear things down. I'm no carpenter. I try to help sometimes, but boy, when they went to pull down the old hall in Charlottetown, I was right on top of the roof. I got the cable right in through the windows, and I just, although I did help to build it, I wanted to get it out of the way for the parking lot, and I could do everything to help them there, and get the old cable around, and then they hooked onto it with a bulldozer, and down it came, and the dust flew, and it wasn't long until it was all gone, hauled away to the dock. Anyone can wreck and tear down, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to build for God. You're going to get involved in the assembly. And so, we're gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ outside the camp of Christendom. We would treat every Christian in these places with 100% honor because they belong to Christ. But we're not going to fraternize with them. And I'll say what I said yesterday without any fear of contradiction. If you want to send your child to a Christian school, that's your business. But when the assemblies of God begin to get mixed up with Christian schools and supporting oriented denominational schools, they're off the track. You can send your child. That's your individual responsibility. And you may have a lot better. You may get a lot better satisfaction through that. But brethren, listen, let us be wary. That school I told you about, and I want to qualify it, those two men that are most outgoing in that, they sat back in one of our morning meetings. And it was a good morning meeting. I hadn't been there for months, and when I heard the brethren, as they thanked God for his son, some of them with trembling voice and tears running down their cheeks, as they thanked God for his son, four or five or six brethren took part that morning. You know what those two men sitting at the back said? They said it in disdain and scorn. They said that was some meeting. It reminded us more of a funeral service than a church service. Brethren, that's about all the most denominational men know about our sacred meeting of remembering the Lord. Isn't it a funeral service in certain sense? I mean, don't we come to remember the Lord's death? I tell you that because I have vital things in my soul in relation as I travel across the country. I see you can send your child to a Christian school if you like. That's your own individual responsibility. But you leave God's house alone. And don't be taking the money out of the assembly to support a denominational-oriented thing, because if you do, you're only beginning to pull down what our dear brethren past have built for God. Stirs our souls and go across the country. And we see dear elders. And they're wondering what to do. Because of situations that's presenting themselves all over the country. A word of caution. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. But then a word. A word of counsel. He says, stand in the ways. And see. And ask for the old paths. People don't like that word, old paths. What are the old paths? The old paths were the paths that Israel walked in when they were right with God. What are the old paths today? The old paths today are the paths that early brethren in this city walked in when there was a God fearing us amongst us, and they walked in the old paths. Now, if you have a little bit of discernment as a Christian, you stand. Take a stand. A man is no good until he takes a stand. Man without conviction, I think it was Luther said, is like a door hanging on one hinge. But once you make your convictions known, then of course you're up for opposition. Take a stand and look and see. Now, a person wouldn't have to have only one eye today. You know, the man in the tower, he had to have a good eyesight. And he had to have a good smell. He had a good eyesight. That's one thing. Why? To see the enemy approaching. And it doesn't take too much spiritual discernment today to see the way the drift is going. And I appeal to you who are young in the faith, young Christians, I appeal to you. In God's name, take counsel. And you ask for the old paths. The paths that those that saw work done for God. Now, I'm not finding any fault with a big campaign.
And I'd pray for these dear brethren. They have my sympathy. That's having this big campaign. But I was saying that same city. A few years ago, there'd be about four or five series of meetings going at this time of year. And crowds would be flocking to our gospel halls. And sinners would be getting saved in every one of them. But now, we must do it like the world. I trust God will come in and overrule and give many souls to Christ. But brethren, I say, stand in the way and ask and seek for the old paths and walk therein. What we need today is the old house meeting revived. Down the street, get a few sinners in. Preach the gospel to them. Don't play ping pong with them. Preach the gospel to them. Oh, you say, we turn them off. No, he wouldn't turn them off. He did go about it the right way. He that winneth souls is wise. Word of counsel, ask for the old paths. Then when you see a Christian saved, when you see a sinner saved, teach them believer's baptism. Teach them gathering to the name of the Lord Jesus. Teach them separation from the world. Teach them gathering to the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And teach them to be out to all the meetings. Brother, don't you take a job that's going to keep you away from the prayer meeting. God will have it out with you. He could dig it all in a $10,000 fire. Your brother down home, he says, Albert, this is what draws us closer. I thought, yes, dear fellow, maybe you got to a prayer meeting, this might not have happened. He's a good brother. But brethren, don't think anything of missing prayer meeting. Brother, listen, let us set our sights for God, and let us put our weight into the things of God. That's what the early brethren did, and they just did these other jobs to pay expenses. And I've already touched my second point, my third point, a challenge. Can I challenge some young life here today? You know, as I look in the mirror, and I see the lines getting, the cord getting higher, and the lines getting deeper, and the numerals mounting up on the calendar, I said, oh God, I pray like the psalmist, now that I am old and gray-headed, forsake me not until I have shown thy precepts or something like that. I just forget the word he uses, unto this generation. And so you may think we're a little extreme, but I tell you, our souls are stirred as we see the potential sitting before us here for God. And we would challenge you, who now is ready? Who now is willing? David says, I've prepared. And oh, you look at the thousands of pounds that he prepared. Now he says, I'll never see the house built. But he says, can I challenge you, young men? He said, who now is willing to consecrate his service to the Lord? What we need today is consecrated men and women. Thank God we see a lot of them here in Vancouver. My, it just thrills our soul. Don't you think we're scolding you, dear young Christian? We're trying to stir you up. Every time we see a consecrated believer, we just get down on our knees and thank God and say, preserve that young man, preserve that young woman, and make them help them make a mark for God, because the devil is out to get them. We appreciate everything we see of God here in this city. And as I say, we don't think for a moment everything has gone to the dogs, but we think that it's in the track where we're onto it could run that way. Let us pull up our socks now, spiritually speaking, and let us challenge ourselves only a little while left. And the Lord is going to come. May God help us to consecrate, and that's filling your hands. Consecrated men and women is what we need today in God's things. So don't take this unkindly. Our soul is stirred. We've seen assemblies planted. We've seen the devil come in and ravage them. We've seen men come in that didn't build them and didn't dig the wells. And what we would build up, yes, and women too. Listen, sister, when you go visiting, if you want to wear the attire that they wear in Vancouver, that's fine. I mean, if you want to wear all the regalia, I'm not here to correct anything in that line. But if you come down our way, please, come in keeping with the teaching that we have been teaching our young believers. Because when you sit down beside us, well, you say, Mr. Ramsey must think that's all right, but he didn't tell us that.
That's not the way we were taught. Whatever you do, when you go moving around, and you get a letter of commendation from the brethren, see that you represent the assembly that sent you. Because when they read that letter of commendation in another assembly, you are a representative of what they produce in that assembly. And you just go in all the dignity of an ambassador. And see, I'm representing Victoria Road Assembly or South Main Assembly or Richmond Assembly. And the Christians will say, well, there's a Christian. Why aren't they godly? That's what we want. That's what we want. Could we challenge you to that? May God help you. May God help us all. And may God preserve those of us who preach. Brethren, listen, those of us who preach. I don't know how you feel about it. But I'm telling you, there never was a day when preachers needed more of the fear of God about us. Because we're the ones that are going before the flock. We're the ones to look up to. And I'm going to tell you, these are the days when we need to keep in with God and to cry to God to preserve us until traveling days are done. And God help.